Epilogue. Steam piped and whistled from a stout copper tea kettle, rising in eddying clouds to the warm, fragrant air. Two thick, round loaves of bread, fresh from the oven, lay on a scratched table pushed against the wall of the kitchen, and beside them on a wooden tray sat a small tub of butter, a tureen of hot carrot soup sprinkled with floating flecks of oregano, dried bananas, and fenugreek. Bonbon wasn't fond of banana as a spice herself, but Lyra swore by it. It was possibly a pony thing. Several clean, neatly folded napkins, assorted utensils, and a stack of carved bowls. Bonbon, her mane tied back with a kerchief and her flushed face dusted with a few patches of flour, surveyed the culinary still life before her with a satisfied smile on her face. The warmth, the smells, the gleam of her nice copper pots and pans, and the wholesome realness of fresh-baked bread. This was good. Pale green hooves clattered against the tiled floor as Lyra trotted into the kitchen, her mane still dripping from the shower that Bonbon had insisted that she take. Her eyes widened. Dang, that smells good. She ambled across the room and draped herself over the changeling's back like a wet dish rag, peering up at her mare friend who was trying to be irritated at being used as a clothes horse and failing spectacularly. The unicorn continued. I mean, really good. What about you, though? You didn't make any broth for yourself? Bonbon motioned at the steaming tureen. I thought I should have some soup as well. We don't want to put Princess Celestia's apprentice on edge. There's a difference between knowing I don't need food and seeing that I don't need it, and it's probably best for me to not be too strange. Her voice dipped mid-sentence out of an Appaloosan twang into what she suspected was a Dunnish accent. At least, as far as I can manage. You'll do fine. It looks awesome, she nuzzled the changeling's mane. Love you, Bonnie. I love you too, dear heart, Bonbon smiled. This was best. And thanks, I tried to get it looking nice. It's just a shame I have to ruin it. Ruin it? What do you... Oh, a knowing glance. The chicken? The chicken. They both looked over towards the little windowed alcove where they usually ate, now dim and shadowed in the evening twilight. A squat, garish patchwork chicken was lolling there atop a little two-pony table, surrounded by a tangle of sewing supplies and a half-empty bag of Mr. Frisky's cat nibbles. Lyra set her horn aglow, and a golden aura materialized around one of the bulbous thing's malformed legs and lofted it over to the tray, where the unicorn tucked it in between the butter and the soup tureen. After they had considered the effect of the little tableau for a few moments, Bonbon silently grabbed one of the napkins in her mouth and covered the prismatic abomination. Lyra nodded. Good call. Sort of a shame she's got to be here, but I guess Sparkle needs to know about the bad as well as the good. Don't want her getting blindsided by it later. Should I take it in, then? No, I've got it. Biting down on the two long loops threaded through the tray's edges, the changeling shook Lyra off her back. I'm not going to carry you around all night. Aw. Heaved the tray up and trotted out into their den, followed by her mare friend. Her eyes widened as she entered the room. Setting her burden down on an old folding table sitting in front of the hearth, she turned to Lyra and exclaimed, Goodness, this is lovely! You don't have to sound so surprised, grinned the unicorn. Told you I could manage fancy-smancy. There's a tablecloth and everything, and I used damp rags instead of newspapers around the bathtub. Bonbon winced. The chicken, the bathtub. Well, not everything could be perfect. Clean rags? Cleanish. That's probably good enough, actually. Now, here's hoping that she gets here before Twilight Sparkle does, so that we can get... She was interrupted by a loud clanking, clattering thud from the front passage, as though some pony wearing a tin can hauberk had thrown themselves bodily against the door. Bonbon sighed. Speak of the Draconicus. Lyra's brow furrowed. What's she trying to do, batter it down? No, she just doesn't understand. Another heavy, rattling blow from the front door. Sun and moon. The cream-colored mare trotted towards the anteroom. There's a latch, Aldervandra! You push down on... Whatever else Bonbon might have said was buried under a rush of thunks and crashes. The door swung open and a vaguely pony-shaped mound of detritus blundered in, tipping over the sill and sprawling across the floor in a tangled mess of limbs and refuse. Lyra trotted over and peered around her mare friend's shoulder at the kelpie, who paused in her flailing to squint up at the two of them. Doors! Hissed Aldervandra, her voice dripping with venom. Bonbon rolled her eyes. You'll get used to them eventually, I hope. We've got a tub of water set up for you, over there on the corner, and most of the things in the room aren't edible, so please don't try to eat anything just yet. She started to turn away, but Lyra stopped her and whispered something in her ear. The changeling nodded. Oh, that's right. There is still nothing living inside the fireplace, so we'd really appreciate it if you didn't try to crawl up the chimney again. Settling Aldervandra in was oddly catastrophe-free. There were a few slight hiccups, but as Lyra pointed out, that one cushion had never been very comfortable anyway. Privately, Bonbon felt that this docility on the Kelpie's part was more than a little suspicious, but unfortunately she wasn't able to do anything particularly productive about those suspicions. Their ramshackle guest had scarcely scrabbled into the bathtub, her eyes glittering darkly just above the water's surface, when there came a hesitant tap at their door, followed almost immediately by a firm tack-tack-tack. Lyra gave a little here-goes-nothing shrug and trotted over to the anteroom while her mare friend hung back a moment to cast a warning glare at Aldrovandra. The Kelpie made no other reply than a toothy smirk. Bonbon scowled and then followed her mare friend to the door. Lyra gave her an encouraging nod, and after drawing a deep breath, the little changeling pulled the door open. "Hi! Hi! My name is Twilight right, you knew that already." The lavender unicorn standing on the doorstep flashed a smile that was a little wider than it should have been, adjusted the saddlebag slung across her back, and then stared guiltily at the dull clunk of metal against metal from within the cloth sack. All three mares froze. After a moment, Bonbon sniffed at the air and said in a quiet, even tone, "Mage Star Swirls worked too. You did do your research." "And iron," hissed Lyra. She started a step forward, her eyes narrowed and ears flattened back against her skull, but stopped at the touch of Bonbon's hoof on her shoulder. "It's okay. I don't blame her." "Yeah, well, I bloody well blame her. You're the only reason she ever got out of that cave. Then that ungrateful..." "It's okay, sweetie, it's okay. There are lots of nasty stories about the she, you know, and most of them are true. I'd want some defense, too, in her place," she smiled reassuringly at their guest. "I'm sorry, I wasn't going to use it," spluttered Twilight, her eyes darting from the changeling to the unicorn and back again. "It's just, my book said, I..." "Then what on earth are you going to do with it?" demanded Lyra. "Listen, Mare, you so much as touch a hair on her head, and I'll take your eyelids, tie them into butterfly knot around that horn, and take a big old bucket of brine and..." Bonbon frowned. "Lyra." "Seriously, though," the unicorn gestured at the cringing mare standing in their doorway. "She wasn't going to use it. Does she think you're stupid?" "No." The changeling turned to look at Twilight, whose smile had now very emphatically left both awkward and creepy far behind and was beginning to make little exploratory twitches into terrified. "She thinks I'm dangerous, and we need to show her that she's wrong. Come in, Miss Sparkle, and if it makes you feel safer, you can bring the Feybane with you. Just keep the Chase Discord, the Mage Star Swirls ward away from the soup if you can. It'd ruin the flavor," she considered. "Oh, and it's poisonous to me and Aldrovandra over there, even in small amounts, so there's that too." She gestured back to the bathtub in their den, currently filled with water, a kelpie, and approximately one shelly coat's worth of attached detritus. Aldrovandra waved a junk-encrusted hoof and grinned, giving Twilight an excellent view of her gleaming fangs. The mare hesitated, peering past Lyra and Bonbon at the darkling creature lounging within the house. For a moment, it looked as though she might back away. Then she drew a deep breath, shrugged the saddlebag off her back, and stepped inside. "I guess if you can trust me enough to let me bring iron into your house, I can trust you enough to not bring it in. I'm sorry." "Don't worry about it," said Bonbon. "Hmph," said Lyra. "Now that she's defenseless, can I eat her? I'm hungry," said Aldrovandra. Kelpie notwithstanding, the rest of the evening actually proceeded much more smoothly than might have been expected, given the rocky beginning. Following Aldrovandra's little contribution to the conversation, Twilight had decided on the whole that she really would prefer to bring her saddlebag and its contents inside, thanks. She relaxed her death grip on it not long after they had all settled themselves down around the table, though, and within half an hour she seemed quite comfortable, slurping soup as she peppered her seely host with questions about the she, the unseely court, and Tir na n'og. Somewhat to her surprise, Bonbon found herself incapable of answering many of them. Their guests seemed to have had a particular knack for intuiting the most obscure arcane question she could possibly ask about the world of the Fae, then immediately developing an intense burning need to have it answered to the very finest detail. Still, she was at ease, and that was what mattered. Bonbon had realized that after the events of the royal wedding and the renewed interest in the unseelie court that it would no doubt bring, that it was really only a matter of time before some pony or other figured out what she was. Although having the royal sisters already aware of the situation was all well and good, she thought, and Lyra agreed, that having a more local ally would be no bad thing. So far, the changeling was really quite impressed with their guest. She was plainly just a little unhinged, hardly surprising given her magical ability, but all in all she seemed to be handling everything very well. It helped, Bonbon supposed, that Aldrovandra had removed herself from view early on, curling up underwater to gnaw on the cat food innards of her messily disemboweled stuffed chicken. Other than the occasional sloshing noises emanating from the bathtub and the unpleasantly pungent aroma of a decaying grayling, or half of one anyway, entrained in the drifting tangles of her lank, weedy mane, Aldrovandra might as well have not been there at all. It helped even more, although neither changeling nor pony was aware of this, that between the two of them Lyra's personality was far more volatile. When Bonbon and Lyra had shown up at the Ponyville Library one rainy afternoon, explained their situation to the shocked unicorn, and invited her over for a dinner where they would talk it out more and assuage her worries, Twilight had suspected that she was dealing with another parasite, feeding on Lyra just like the changeling queen had fed on her own brother. Despite Princess Celestia's reassuring response to the quick letter she had dashed off, Twilight had arrived that evening half expecting to see the same green, glowing glamour blight she had seen in shining armor glimmering out of Lyra's eyes. Well, The unicorn mare was definitely protective of her mare friend, but it was obvious that there wasn't the faintest speck of unseelie magic clouding her mind. Mindless thralls did not get into loud, good-natured shouting matches with kelpies or immerse themselves in... Twilight wasn't sure what it was, actually. Amateur clockwork hoof spider-making? And derail perfectly enthralling conversations about fasciculative bipedalism and subadult pukas for half an hour for the sake of demonstrating their latest invention. Nor would one expect, after the invention had gotten loose and started scuttling around the room like a demented pocket watch on legs, for a mind slave to chase down said invention and beat it into submission with a dog-eared copy of White Stocking's Guide to Proper Pony Punning, bellowing, "Death and Artichokes!" and "By Celestia's Beard!" all the while. So both the parties for the first part and the party for the second part chatted and considered and explained and judged, and although Lyra didn't budge from the protective position she had taken between their guest and Bon Bon, and Twilight continued to cast occasional nervous glances towards the lurking Kelpie, on the whole, all those present found themselves beginning to feel almost comfortable with. And then there came a sudden string of harsh staccato knocks at the door. All three mares started back. Bon Bon and Lyra edged closer together. Twilight laid a hoof on the saddlebag resting by the couch, and the two mares and their guests stared across the table at each other in strained, suspicious silence. Water splashed behind them as Aldevranda reared up out of her ersatz pond, her tattered mane scattering rank droplets on the rags around her bathtub as she cackled gleefully. "The pure, untarnished trust you all have for one another is positively heartwarming. It truly is." "Quiet," hissed Bon Bon. "This isn't..." She trailed off. "Yes," the Kelpie inclined her head politely. "Isn't what?" The pale cream mare made no answer at first. Then, her voice grim despite its current high pitch, she turned to face the creature and demanded, "Who did you bring?"
"Who did I? Do you think I know? Honestly, my dear little race traitor, I haven't a clue what you or maybe your charming guest here have been doing behind each other's backs. Perhaps it's a pack of ponies."
She stopped, struck by the alliteration, after a few moments of thought finished.
"Porting pokers? Or a fleet of fey, fanged and fierce? How could I possibly be expected to know?"
She slid a slender tongue over her fangs.
"Or wait, another thought occurs to me. I'm like that, you know, always thinking thoughts. You wouldn't know what it's like, I imagine, but..."
"Get on with it," Bon Bon snapped. By this point, Lyra and Twilight had turned too, staring at the smirking creature lounging in the corner.
"Fine, fine," the Kelpie rolled her goatish eyes. "I just thought that since you're here, the pony who saw through your queen's disguise is here, and the pony who was able to shake off your queen's glamour and bring down a Buggane is here."
Another toothy grin.
"Well, I wouldn't be at all surprised if you three had earned yourself a visit from someone very important. Royalty, even, perhaps. I suppose it's possible may have hunted down a certain mutual acquaintance of ours and made arrangements."
"No," whispered the changeling, her face white. "No, she was cast out."
"She's back,"
warbled Aldervander in a lilting sing-song voice. Another heavy blow struck the door, imperious and emphatic. Twilight clattered away from the table.
"Back door? Is there a..."
"Nope." Golden light swirled up Lyra's horn as she drew a bent poker up from the hearth, her tail lashing back and forth. "You'd better get out that iron of yours, Spart. You brought a spoon."
"Three, actually, but yes, it's all I could find on short notice."
"It's a spoon. What were you going to do, scoop your way to safety?"
"If it's made of iron or it's got iron in it, it'll help," interposed Bon Bon.
A burst of green flame swirled around her legs, blackening her hooves and pitting them with sharp-edged cavities, and she slunk over to the side of the den and clambered up the wall, crawling in unsteady stealth across the wooden planks towards a space directly above the front door. Her mare friend followed below, creeping over to one side of the door with her poker poised at the ready. Looking back, she gestured for Twilight, who was currently gawking at the changeling crawling across the ceiling, to join them. The being outside struck the door again. From behind them, Aldervander called,
"Well, aren't you going to answer it? This rudeness surprises me, Bon Bon. I thought you were more picky about that etiquette stuff."
The changeling scowled and gestured to Twilight to lift the latch. She gave a little nod, took a deep breath, swung the door open, and dropped her spoon with a gasp, her eyes wide in shock. For a moment, no pony said anything, and then Twilight stammered out,
"Princess Luna?"
The tall, graceful alicorn standing in the doorway, her dark mane swirling and glimmering around her, nodded assent.
"Indeed."
She gazed down at the two ponies, Lyra with her poker still poised in midair, and Twilight with her spoon of death, and her mouth twitched into a puzzled half-smile.
"Had I known that a coup d'etat was being planned for this evening, I believe I would have had my guards escort me to the door, rather than stay by the chariot. What means this?"
Celestia's student stepped forward.
"Princess, I..."
"Wait!" Lyra hoisted the poker up into a striking position, her ears still flattened back against her head and her teeth gritted. "Wait, Bon Bon?"
"No, it's all right," said a voice from somewhere over Luna's head.
The alicorn nearly brained herself on the lintel as she swung her head up to look at Bon Bon, clinging to the wall above the door like some surreal equine fly. "I don't feel any unseelie magic. It's not Chrysalis. It's Luna. She's real." The princess raised an eyebrow.
I confess I am ignorant of many modern customs, but I do not recall my sister telling me that ambush was considered a proper mode of greeting. Is aught amiss?
Scuttling down from the wall, or rather scuttling halfway down, then losing her balance and flopping the rest of the way down like a Jacob's ladder, the changeling said,
No, but I thought... we thought.
She paused, struggling to drag her thoughts and her mouth into roughly the same place. After a moment, she scowled and hissed, Kelpie. Raising her head, the changeling glared across the room at Aldervandra, who was leaning forward in her tub with her pebbly hooves resting on the rim and an enormous sharp-toothed grin plastered across her face. After emitting a sort of a weak noise, the cluttered creature managed to gasp out, Spoons! And then collapsed forward, her body shaking with laughter. Twilight scowled. Lyra made a small choking noise and covered her mouth with her hoof, trying not to smile.
I did take she did not inform me that I wished to speak with you then, and her naming of this date and time was done entirely without your consultation, observed Luna dryly.
Bonbon stomped over towards the bathtub.
No, she did not, and yes, it was. Aldervandra, you wretched, horrible— You told us that you'd summoned Chrysalis. You scared us to death. Chrysalis?
The Kelpie lifted her head, her face a perfect picture of wide-eyed innocent surprise.
Chrysalis, I merely suggested that your unexpected guest was both royal and recently returned from exile. And you thought I meant Chrysalis? What a peculiar notion.
You know full well what you were hinting at. Don't think I'm going to... She halted and looked back over her shoulder.
Oh, Lyra, sweetie, no. You know it'll only encourage her. I'm... Sorry, I can't...
The Kelpie smirked. For a moment, Bonbon just stared at the scabrous creature, rifling through her brain for possible responses. Then, without really meaning to, she slumped back on her hindquarters and began to laugh. Maybe it was relief. Maybe it was sympathy with Lyra. It was not, she told herself, because there was anything remotely funny about the situation, and she was going to wring that thing's neck for putting them through that, just as soon as she was able to catch her breath. Somehow, it all worked out. Halfway through her fit of laughter, Bonbon realized that A, the Princess Luna, even if technically uninvited, was still their guest, and B, that everypony else had soup and she didn't, and scurried off to the kitchen to get another bowl. When she got back, Lyra had calmed down a little but was still chortling, while Twilight had just remembered that Luna was likely to have word with Shining Armor and Cadence, and was peppering the alicorn with questions about the newlyweds. This was doubly fortunate in that it took Twilight's mind off the spoon-based mockery and prevented Luna from raining divine wrath on Aldervandra. The Kelpie herself was looking smug, but not that that was exactly noteworthy. It was odd, really. Every moment, Bonbon expected the good mood to turn sour and for some pony, Kelpie, or alicorn to step on another's hooves and send everything spiraling out of control. And yet it never quite happened. A nascent argument between Lyra and Twilight turned into a conversation about technomancy. Luna's chastisement of Aldervandra became a Q&A session on the habits of the she, and any further problems that might have been caused by the antagonistic creature were forestalled when, after about half an hour, she drowsed off at the bottom of her tub. Lyra's mildly confrontational request that the princess explain how exactly things went so horribly wrong at the wedding ended up a remarkably candid discussion of the royal sister's plans to counter the invasion, and where they failed and succeeded. A non-smiting Luna, a no longer suspicious Twilight, and an unconscious Aldervandra, and a happy, contented Lyra. Strange how sometimes, somehow, things really did turn out well. The stars drifted along in the sky, the clouds gathered and dissipated, and the night wore on. Eventually, Twilight glanced up at the clock on the wall, started at the lateness of the hour, and said she'd better be off. At the door, she turned to Bonbon. Lyra, having said a short farewell, was back at the den debating the merits of modern technology with the princess and trying to convince her that a difference engine, while much less portable than an abacus, was worth the trouble, and said, I learned a lot tonight, about a lot of things. Would you and Lyra like maybe to come over for dinner sometime at the library? Spike, he's my assistant. He's a dragon. I think he might like to talk to you. He's always had trouble figuring out how to be a dragon in a town filled with ponies, and it might help if he could talk to some pony... Oh, sorry. Bonbon rolled her eyes and smiled. Some pony is fine. Right. The unicorn gave an awkward grin and continued. Some pony else who isn't, well, who isn't a pony. I'd have to ask Lyra, of course, but for my part, I'd be happy to. We'll let you know. Good night, Miss Sparkle. Thank you for giving Lyra and me a chance. Not all ponies would have. With a somewhat sheepish smile, the lavender unicorn waved goodbye and trotted out the door. Princess Luna rose to her hooves. Meet it is that I too make my farewells. Ere I take my leave, though, there are yet some matters that I would discuss. She glanced over to the anteroom where Twilight had stood a moment before. She is not the only pony who owes both of you their life, though she knows it not. If there is aught that I or my sister may do in thanks for... Bonbon walked over, shaking her head.
Thank you, Your Highness, but I think we're good. Yeah, added Lyra. If you'd offered to shower us with wealth beyond our wildest dreams a few weeks ago, I'd have told Bonnie here to let the nice alicorn Dingwell shower us with the wealth beyond our wildest dreams, but, you know, not so much now. Only having to buy half as many groceries frees up a lot of bills, too.
The unicorn yawned. Like she said, we're good. With an odd little half-smile, the princess said,
As you wish it. I must insist, though, on one token of appreciation. Nay, do not thank me. It is no great thing. It is, indeed, merely a matter of returning to you that which was already yours.
Cobalt blue light swirled around the alicorn's horn. With an odd rushing rustle, the bundle of fabric and straps unfolded itself out of nothingness in front of her, suspended in midair in a web of glittering magic. Her eyes wide, Lyra exclaimed,
My saddlebag!
Luna nodded. Indeed, it was found shortly after the invasion by one of the city guards, along with a most singular list. Upon hearing of its existence and deducing its likely owner, I took it upon myself to seek it out, and then, well, Luna set her horn glowing again, a discolored scrap of paper and quill pen flicked into being.
I confess I indulged myself and ran a few errands. The fifth task on the list had already been completed satisfactorily, but as the other purchased items had been ruined by rain and mold, it seemed the least I could do was to replace them.
Giving the brittle, tattered scrap of paper an officious little shake, the alicorn brought it up to reading distance and cleared her throat. There was an odd theatricality to the action, as if the simple act of reading from a list gave the princess a great deal of pride. It occurred to Bon Bon that, what with her royal status, Luna might not ever have the opportunity or reason to go shopping before. She remembered Nightmare Night and was suddenly filled with deep sympathy for the merchants of Canterlot. Luna began reading.
Item the first. Sandpaper. Coarse grade. Aye.
The saddlebag shifted, and a rough sheet of sandpaper rose halfway out, its rim shining with deep blue magic. Luna scratched sandpaper off the list with her quill.
Item the second, lapis lazuli paint. Aye.
Scratch.
Item the third, lyre strings. Aye.
Item the fourth, marshmallow.
Aye.
The quill dashed across the paper two more times, and then lay still. The princess looked up at Bon Bon.
Item the fifth, warned captain of the guard of imminent changing invasion, thus saving all of Equestria from certain doom.
Luna smiled and scratched the words from the list. Lowering her head, she bowed to the changeling.
Aye, all that and a great deal more.
The solemn silence that followed, or an awkward silence from Bon Bon's perspective, lasted all of 2 seconds before Luna broke it by glancing back at the list and muttering,
Powdered sugar? Aye, almonds? Aye. Faith, changeling, could you have not concluded your list with the world's salvation? I possess, I hope, great personal dignity, but even I can do little with such an ending. Baking supplies make for a poor denouement.
It was at the end originally, but then I remembered I wanted to try a marzipan recipe. I didn't see a point in wasting the paper.
I suppose I cannot gainsay that.
The graceful star-maned creature gave her wings a shake. Now, I must be off. My thanks to both of you for a most pleasant evening, an engrossing conversation, a fine dinner, and for saving the world. The two mares followed Luna into the anteroom, and Lyra pushed the door open. Honestly, the whole saving the world bit was kind of an accident. Mostly Bon Bon and I were just trying to save each other.
May the stars have mercy on whoever poor creatures next threatens one of you, then, said Luna.
She made as if to depart, but then stopped and turned back. In a hesitant voice, she continued,
There is one matter, actually. Am I correct in understanding that you are not wed?
Bon Bon blinked in surprise. No, that is, yes. That is, no, we're not married. I mean, I guess maybe we will someday, but the subject hasn't really, we haven't talked about it all that much about...
Which is kind of weird, really, interrupted Lyra. You'd think we would have gotten around to that by now. What do you say, Bon Bon? Want to get hitched?
Bon Bon clapped a hoof over her face.
Lyra. All right, I got it. You're not ready yet.
She raised a hoof to one side of her face and whispered theatrically to Luna,
She's not ready yet.
Well now, said the changeling, eyeing her mare friend,
I didn't actually say no.
Lyra's ears perked up.
I didn't say yes either. I just didn't say no.
Down went the ears again. Luna had been watching this exchange with raised eyebrows, and what might or might have not been a smile, said,
Well, in the happy event that such a proposal accepted, I would like to make the two of you an offer.
I confess that when I first learned of the nature of the bond between you, I did not understand that. I am from a far older age, you must realize.
I suppose that yours was, by definition, an entirely carnal, that there was no true depth of feeling, that sinful...
She halted, brow furrowed, and gave a frustrated snort.
Enough. I was wrong, and my past errors are hardly relevant. I simply wish to tell you that, should you be in need of an elder preside over your wedding, I would be honored if you would permit me to fulfill that role. Nay, I will not have thanks, nay. A good night to you both.
She smiled.
I believe I can promise that your sleep will be sound and your dreams wholesome.
With a long, low bow farewell, the dark alicorn departed, spreading her wings as she left the door and leaping up into the clear, starry sky. Warm amber light flowed out of the open doorway, marking the outlines of Bon Bon and Lyra in sharp relief. Bon Bon, standing with her head raised and her gaze directed at the stars above, and Lyra sitting by the changeling's side, her head resting against her mare friend's shoulder. Perhaps a minute passed in silence. At length, Lyra looked up.
Hey, Bon Bon?
Hmm?
So, why didn't you say yes? Are you just not ready? Was I not sappy enough? Too sappy? You don't accept proposals on Thursdays?
The changeling peered down. It's Friday, and in what demented universe would What Do You Say, Bon Bon, want to get hitched, be too sappy? I don't know, just throwing it out there. The unicorn nuzzled her mare friend's shoulder. But seriously. With a chuckle, Bon Bon raised her head again, looking back at the vast light-spangled arc of the galaxy overhead. For one thing, you did kind of put me on the spot. But to tell the truth, is this a serious seriously or jokey seriously? Serious seriously. After a moment, the changeling grinned and said, To hey with it. To tell the truth, if you ask me again now, I might just end up saying yes after all. Lyra pulled back, staring at her in surprise. Wait, really? Yes, really. The only thing holding me back, I think, would be one slight problem that needs to be fixed first. Name it. The changeling raised a hoof and pointed back into the house of the bathtub where Aldervanda was currently dozing. I don't accept proposals or do anything remotely romantic when there's even the slightest possibility of that ambulatory waterweed might show up and start snarking about it. Once she's back in her swamp, then we can talk proposals and acceptances and engagements. Is that all? Awesome. Lyra rose to her hooves, golden light spiraled along her horn, and the poker that had been left by the door rose up into the air beside her. That's my next 30 minutes taken care of, then. She leaned in and gave Bon Bon a quick nuzzle. Stay beautiful, filly. To war! The changeling mare watched as Lyra galloped inside and then looked back up to the sky. She closed her eyes and shivered. There was an icy touch to the breeze blowing past that had nothing to do with cold. The sound of pipes drifted through the flowing air, whining and whistling melodies that no pony had ever heard, and that no pony would ever hear. For a moment, Bon Bon glimpsed, or smelled, or heard a great wolfish phantom, white-haired and lank-limbed, lumbering blindly and invisibly along a distant ponyville byway that had been built atop a far older ley line. A sigh. She would never be rid of Fairy, no matter what. Not without some effort, Bon Bon forced herself away from the cloying, venomous pull of the other world and struggled back to reality. All her life she'd be fighting this battle. All her life would be struggling against Discord's curse, a single seely she standing at the brink of a vast, hungry elder world writhing with demons. From somewhere back in the house, Bon Bon heard a very large quantity of water moving very noisily, followed by the clang of metal striking stone and a hissed stream of insults in at least 2 different languages. There was a brief moment of silence, more invective and clanging, and then Lyra hollered, Bonnie, could you come help me at this? She's glued herself to the fireplace like last week. I think we're going to have to knock out another brick. Bon Bon rose, shaking her head with a smile on her face as she trotted back into their comfortable, safe little cottage. There was iron and Feybane in the world, true, along with the ringing echo of the wild hunt's horns, the cruelties and whims of the Unseelie court, the insistent tug of Tir na n'og, and of course the kvetching of a certain kelpie. But there was also the scent of bread, the shine of copper, the light touch of cotton, and the warmth of Lyra's love. She faced a lifelong struggle, maybe. But it was worth it.